الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله يختص برحمته من يشاء سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم والله يختص برحمته من يشاء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses or chooses يختصو specifies or chooses his rahmah for whomever he desires. This is an ayah of the Quran that actually comes in Surah Al-Baqarah. And it describes the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning one of the characteristics of the mercy of Allah. So the first and foremost is obviously, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ar-Rahman and ar-Rahim. That He's the most merciful, the most beneficent, the most merciful. So this ayah is describing another characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ يَخْتَصُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows or blesses His mercy on whomever He chooses. So this is also a very important characteristic to understand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you think about it, think about the kuffar of Medina, of Mecca. The error that they made, one of the errors that they made, was not in associating partners with Allah. In the sense that they did associate partners with Allah, but they were willing to accept Allah. At the same time, they were willing to listen to a message from Allah. But one of the problems that they had was, well, why did Allah choose that person, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a messenger? Why can't it be that Allah choose one of the higher ranking officials of the Quraysh? Or why can't it be that Allah send us an angel? Right? There's different ayat in the Quran that say, but why didn't Allah send us an angel? Why didn't Allah make one of the more wealthy Quraysh the Prophet? Why did he have to choose somebody like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So they didn't have a problem with the mercy of Allah in one aspect. They had a problem with who Allah chose to bestow His mercy on. So this is also an important thing that you should realize, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses His mercy for certain people. And we have to accept that. That is our responsibility to accept that. So what does that mean? What are some practical applications? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed certain people to be born and raised in the company of very, very righteous people. And in many cases, to become scholars of this deen. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses somebody with that type of background, then it's our responsibility to go and to take from those people in the aspect of learning. So there are certain people in the world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the tawfiq, that they just sit and study and they teach all day. And that's their lives. And so it's our responsibility to appreciate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified a certain mercy on them and to go and learn from those people. Not to say, well, we're better because we have A, B, and C and they don't have A, B, and C and so therefore we're going to do whatever we want to do. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He specified His mercy first on a certain group of people in this particular instance. And so we should realize where the mercy of Allah lies and go and seek it. Because the ulama are the warathatul anbiya, right? The ulama are the inheritors of the Prophet, of the Prophets. So when they inherit from the Prophet, it means they inherit the deen from the Prophet, in the sense that they become the source of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other thing that we should realize is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He specifies His mercy for certain people and He does it for other people, it's not binding on Allah. Who He specifies His mercy on is not binding on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't say, well, Allah should specify His mercy on me because I'm so and so and such, and Allah should not specify His mercy on somebody else because they don't have those same qualities or characteristics. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will choose whomever He wants, whenever He wants, to specify His mercy or to send His mercy upon in any way that He wants. So you may see certain people, take for example, there are certain people who they don't even deserve to step foot in the masjid. This person, he used to drink, he used to never pray, he used to do everything wrong. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that that person is going to be my true servant, and he wakes him up, and you see the person regularly in the masjid, and his life changes. And there's other people, their parents raised them from day one, that this person is going to be a mufti, and this person is going to be a big alim, and this person is going to be somebody who's very close to Allah, and that person turns out to be one of the worst persons, one of the worst people in the community. Allah didn't choose. It's just up to Allah. Allah's mercy is the one that decides everything. So we have to accept Allah's mercy to a certain degree. So I'll go to a couple practical examples of how that applies in our lives. So you see someone who doesn't come to the masjid. They come rarely to the masjid, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the tawfiq to come to the masjid. You have to be very careful in criticizing other people for not doing what you do. And this is actually one of the things that we do very often. So we'll say, well, I come to the masjid regularly, so why can't brother A come to the masjid regularly? How come he doesn't come to the masjid? Or, you know, I got the tawfiq and the understanding to follow some act of the Sharia. How come he doesn't follow that act of the Sharia? Or some sister will say, well, I wear hijab, and look, she doesn't wear hijab. Where, and you know, 5 years ago, that sister probably wasn't even wearing hijab, the one who wears it right now. So we tend to judge people based on what they're doing, but what they're doing is actually an act or actually a reflection of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that you had the tawfiq to come to the masjid and somebody else didn't, it's completely the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not that you are some great person now because you come to the masjid or you're studying Arabic or you're learning how to read Arabic or you know one book above somebody else. That doesn't make you better than anyone. It just means that Allah's mercy has been centered upon you or focused upon you. And if we're not careful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove that carpet from under our feet and we'll fall back flat on our face. So it's not, there's no guarantees. When we look at other people and you judge other people, you don't judge the person. You look at their actions and you dislike or like their acts based on the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who tells us what to like and not to like. This is very important. A very practical example. We dislike kuffar, but we do not dislike the kuffar. You understand this? This is very important. We dislike kuffar. We have an aversion towards kuffar, meaning associating or denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that doesn't mean that you have something against the kuffar. There's two very different things. Kuffar is we dislike it because Allah told us to dislike it. And the kuffar are human beings. They've made an error in their judgment. We still try to give them guidance. We still have respect for them. But we dislike an aspect of what they're doing, not them in and of themselves. And so when you see somebody who doesn't come to the masjid, you dislike the fact that they don't come to the masjid. And it helps you to appreciate that you do come to the masjid. But you don't dislike them, physically, them themselves. You dislike one characteristic that they're doing. And it's not because of them, it's because Allah didn't give them the tawfiq. How can you blame them? So you have to work with them, respect them, treat them the best you can, and if Allah opens their eyes, He opens their eyes. And if He doesn't open their eyes, He doesn't open their eyes. This was the dealing of the Prophet ﷺ even with the kuffar. He treated them better than we treat the Muslims today. Look, read the sirah of the Prophet on them. He treated the kuffar in such incredible ways, even when they would take the intestines of animals and dump them on the head of the Prophet ﷺ while he was praying in the Kaaba. They did that. Yet, the Prophet ﷺ had no aversion against those people. He disliked the kuffar that was within them, but nothing physically about those people themselves. Similarly, when the Prophet went to Taif, and he went to give the dawah to the people in Taif, when he was in Taif, they ridiculed him. They mocked him, and they told their children, take stones and throw this man out of the city. The Prophet says to his wife, I've never experienced a more difficult day in my life than I did on that day. The Prophet is saying that. Imagine the challenges. Here's a man, his mother died in his lifetime. His father died before he was born. All of his children, the majority of his children died. All of his male children died. His wife died. His uncle died. His grandfather died. His family and his people throw him out of his city. All of these things happened to the Prophet ﷺ. Yet he's saying that day was more difficult on me than any other day in my life. The day that those kids threw stones and chased him out of the city. Yet, then what happened? As soon as he got outside of the city, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent two angels to him, the angels who control the mountains. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us permission that if you request it, that we take the two mountains between Taif and we crush them together and we finish the people that exist in there. Because of what they've done to you today, it was so bad what they did to him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself acknowledged it by sending those two angels. That's how deep the trouble of the Prophet was in his heart on that particular moment. Yet the Prophet said, no. Inshallah, I hope that one day those people will be able to take iman. Because he didn't dislike the people. If it was us, we would have said, those people are the worst people, just destroy them. He disliked one characteristic of those people, and that could have been changed. And he realized that could have been changed if Allah's mercy became specified. If this ayah fell upon them, وَاللَّهُ يَخْتَصُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, then they would have been changed. And so he had hope, because he knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is infinite. It showers, and when it turns to a certain person, their life changes. And so he said, no, I don't have a disliking towards these people. Inshallah, one day they will take Islam. And they did. And in fact, not only did they take Islam, but one of the people from that particular city, Muhammad bin Qasim, is the person who then ultimately was the leader of the group of Mujahideen who conquered India. And all of us are dependent upon that. For the fact that India was conquered and then they all became, a whole group of people within them became Muslim. So many of us come from that part of the world. And imagine, who knows what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have done. But if that whole city was destroyed, then that man may not have arisen from those people to go and to take Fatah all the way to Hind. So this is just, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that runs the world. And we have to look at people like that. And we have to look at ourselves like that. And begin to realize that when you draw the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards you, then inshallah, people will be able to benefit. But we don't judge individuals, we judge what we like, what Allah likes, and we dislike what Allah dislikes. And that is, so the example of that is the kufr, or similarly when you don't see people coming to the masjid, yeah, inshallah they'll change, but you have to look at it like Allah didn't send His mercy on that person yet. And inshallah one day He will, and we're not going to criticize who Allah decides to send His mercy on and who He doesn't. Go not coming to the masjid, in and of itself, the act is dislikable. It's not ideal, but that's nothing, but you don't judge the person, you judge the act. And independently. So, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His blessings upon us. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.